The Andy Finn Show is back, and I'm here with John Clark, and we are talking about music, specifically about Neil Young, chosen in a recent poll as the sixth greatest composer in the history of rock. And John, we want to talk about Neil Young's most famous song in this segment, and the controversy that it spawned, Southern Man. So, John, you're a Southern man. You grew up in Kentucky. You're a Southerner.
As a matter of fact, recently there's been a series of articles about just exactly what a Southern person is in Kentucky. Do we define ourselves as Southern people or not?
Well, I know that that's your border state, right? In the Civil War, you couldn't quite decide.
We couldn't decide.
But we
officially remained neutral. But the fact is, I believe that most people, even if you look at the tier of Southern states, Kentucky kind of sits like a big bump on top of it. But I believe that in general, Kentuckians who have been here for generations do regard themselves as Southerners for all the best qualities that are associated with the South.
You're right, and I'll tell you why I consider and know that Kentucky is a Southern state. When you go to Kentucky, you purchase a vehicle and you get insurance for your vehicle. And hope
you don't get pulled over by the police.
But the point is, that is Southern talk. So there's no question that there is a Southern flair and flavor to Kentucky. So given
that... Well, beyond that, I think it's a matter of a certain gentility, friendliness, and a predilection for very sweet tea.
Well, this is a side track, but that's okay for a minute, because I do want to say something about Kentucky. You know, when I moved there, I made myself three promises. I promised myself I would drive slower, I would talk slower, and I would be patient waiting in line. Because I came out of the New York metropolitan area where I'd been the previous 11 years, and I knew that I wasn't quite geared for living in Lexington, Kentucky. And one of the most amazing things about moving to Kentucky was how friendly people were. I would walk into the grocery store, and someone I didn't know, if we made eye contact across the vegetables or whatever, would say hi. You don't get that in major cities in this country.
You get that everywhere here.
And so I moved back to D.C. here. I moved to D.C. when I left Lexington. And I wasn't here a month when I was driving on the Beltway. And some guy felt I'd wronged him in some way driving. Whether he thought I cut him off or I changed lanes too quick or whatever he thought. And he flips me the bird as we're going by. And I'm thinking... Yes, I'm back in a big city, because nobody had flipped me the bird in 6 years of living and driving in Kentucky. 1 month in D.C., they're flipping me off. And that's what's great about the South and about rural America.
That's so funny you should mention that, because when I was a kid, we were taking a vacation. We used to tour Civil War battlefields, and then we would wind up in Washington and do the whole Smithsonian thing. And one day, Dad got lost. And we wound up in Maryland, and Dad wanted to make a U-turn and somehow get us back to where we were supposed to be. And he did it, and this car went by us, and this angry, florid face hanging out the window, cursing at us and flipping us off. I was 9 years old. I'd never seen or heard anything like that in my life.
Big city living.
But anyway, that's pretty much of a digression.
It is, but we're talking about Southern Man. So Neil Young comes out with the song Southern Man.
And Alabama.
Yeah, yeah. But you can tell me how Alabama fits in, but the focus, I believe, was mostly on Southern Man. And Southern Man is essentially an indictment of white Southerners for how they treated blacks for centuries, I suppose you'd say. Is that a fair characterization of how it's interpreted?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But I would put Alabama right up there.
Okay.
The sentiment is the same. And in this case, it wasn't Neil writing about Southern men in general, but picking out a specific state and indicting them for the sins they have to live with. And, of course, that led to the controversy with the song, Sweet Home Alabama. Not just about Southern men, but about Alabama. And, of course, that's kind of funny, because Lynyrd Skynyrd wasn't, they were from Florida. They weren't from Alabama at all. But apparently they had good times in Alabama.
Well, talk to me about Ron Van Sant and how this song came about, or how they reacted to Southern Man.
Well, they obviously were offended by it. And they said, I heard O'Neill put us down. I hope Neil Young will remember a Southern Man, don't need him around.
Yep.
And not only that, they went on to express some other sentiments, like down in Birmingham, they love the governor. And Watergate doesn't bother me. Does your conscience bother you? And in general, it was regarded as a fairly racist. Of course, the governor they were referring to was Lester Maddox. And it was regarded as a pretty redneck racist song, but definitely a slap directed at Neil Young.
Right, right. Well, now then, as you and I have talked before, Neil Young, when he wrote the song Powderfinger, he wrote it intending to offer it to and have Lynyrd Skynyrd record it. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know exactly if that was if he thought that would be a peace offering or what. It ended up they didn't record it. But I never really figured out if the rift ever healed or if neither side just didn't care about it. Any sense of that?
Well, yeah. As a matter of fact, on numerous occasions, Ronnie Van Zant expressed his admiration for Neil Young. Another guy in the band, I can't remember which one it was, said they just decided to write a song, and the lyrics came together that way, and they just thought it was a hoot. They didn't even really take it very seriously. But Ronnie Van Zant was photographed, a number of times, wearing a Neil Young T-shirt. And for that matter, in the film Rust Never Sleeps, the bass player is wearing a Lynyrd Skynyrd T-shirt. So I think that the rift between them was probably blown out of proportion.
A media and creation.
There was even some controversy when Ronnie Van Zant died. There was this myth sprang up that he had been buried in a Neil Young T-shirt. But his wife said that didn't happen.
Well, I can't say I ever heard that one.
But, yeah, it's true.
Well, and of course, there was also of all the famous tragedies in rock, Lynyrd Skynyrd is right up there.
Oh, gosh, yes.
Because how many people in the band died in that plane crash?
I mean, I think four of them died. Two of the band members and Ronnie Van Zant's sister was one of the background singers, and she died in that crash. That was a tragedy, and the ones who survived were severely injured.
Right.
But eventually recovered and took over with Van Zant's brother as the lead singer. Now, I got to tell you that as a Southern man, I grew up on Southern rock and roll, and I've always put a couple of bands way above the rest of the pack when it comes to Southern rock and roll. And the Allman Brothers, I put in a class by themselves. But as far as the rest of the group of Southern bands goes, Lynyrd Skynyrd's right at the top of the heap as far as I'm concerned. They had some great songs that I still love. You know, and for that matter, you know, I don't object to a celebration of Southern culture at all. And you can also look at they had a song called Curtis Lowe, The Ballad of Curtis Lowe, which is all about an old black man that they just revered, who apparently taught them all these blues licks when they were kids. The strange dichotomy of racism in the South, the lives of black people and white people so completely intertwined.
Yeah. Now, do you know where the name Lynyrd Skynyrd came from?
Yes, I do. Uh-huh. Lynyrd Skynyrd was not spelled that way, but was the gym coach who kicked those boys out of school for having long hair.
That's right.
In Florida, yeah.
And do you know what the name of the school was?
No, I don't. No.
It was Robert E. Lee High School.
Is that right?
That's right. Doesn't get much more Southern than that, does it?
No, it doesn't.
Well, and that plane crash was 77. Gosh, you know, that's just amazing when you think that we're moving on to 30 years. It's we might be getting old. I don't know.
77. I was 20 years old in 1977. But we should wind up with a little bit about who Neil Young is.
Yes.
Nowadays, I did a little reading and was kind of amazed to discover that Neil Young and his wife co-founded the Bridge School, that's the name of it, the Bridge School for Handicapped Children near San Francisco, and they hold a benefit for it every year.
Yes,
and the reason they're so the reason they're so interested in this is because their son Ben has cerebral palsy.
Uh-huh.
And so not only did they found this school for disabled children with disabilities of various kinds, Neil Young's also founded a company that makes devices for disabled kids, as well as really high-tech toys that they can use. And he is personally involved in designing an improved wheelchair. So we're talking about somebody who's got many facets here.
Yeah, no, that's interesting. Now, I didn't know anything about that school until Pete Townsend went and performed at one of those benefits one year.
Oh, really?
And that's when the Bridge School became came on my screen. And, of course, we've talked already that he has been involved in Farm Aid since the beginning. But,
well, let's just go out on a limb and call Neil Young a good guy.
Yeah, yeah. No, I agree with you. I think that it's, for me, there are any number of people out there that are, you know, you can have success in whatever field you pursue. And then the question is, what do you do with the success? And I have friends that don't think much of U2 and Bono. And I said, well, why not? And it rubs them the wrong way that Bono's an activist. And I'm thinking, what, you'd rather have him be a drunken girl chaser his whole life?
Right.
It amazes me that people find fault with people that try and do good.
I'm all for it.
Yeah, no, we could use a little more of that. I'd love to
see. In the fantasies that I sometimes have about winning the lottery, which will never happen because I've never bought a lottery ticket, but that doesn't stop me from having fantasies about it. I just think about everything I would do with all that money. There's so many stories of people who win the lottery and then they descend into drunkenness and they get divorced and they're arrested for this and that and they make all these bad choices. And I just think, gosh, if given the opportunity to have that kind of money, what good could I possibly do with it?
Well, and I've thought, now that I'm a little older, that I've never really pursued money through my life, but I realize now what you can do with it as a philanthropist, and I'm now sorry that I didn't making money one of my main goals in life, because I see the people who are multimillionaires able to give away a lot and able to do a lot of good, and I'd love to be able to do that, but I have to make a difference in a different way.
Well, and that's okay. We all have our own ways, those of us who have chosen to go into academics certainly don't care that much about material possessions.
No, you can't afford to.
Right.
Well, let me wrap up by saying, in addition to Neil Young being number six as a songwriter in this poll we are talking about, he was listed as number nine among the 100 greatest guitarists of all time in a 1996 poll that came out in Mojo magazine.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that may be a little high for you and I if we really were to get critical about it, because we've discussed the fact that he's not necessarily a virtuoso on guitar.
But, that's true.
But being in the top 10 in any poll is quite a tribute.
Right. I agree with that. And it's all about what effect his guitar playing has on you emotionally.
That's right. Yep. So we'll go out with a little more of Neil Young here. But, John, I want to thank you for being here. And
my pleasure. You know, your listeners may not realize it when they hear us talking about music like this, but when we would just talk without a recording device near, this is pretty much the way we talk all the time.
That's true. And we often finish conversations and say, we should have recorded them. It's so much better than the other drivel that we hear on the air.
Right.
Thanks again.
You're welcome.
Come and dance, now you're prime.
have come to the end of another edition of the Andy Finn Show. We'll be back next Thursday night at 7 p.m. Actually, next Thursday night is a break. I'm going to be on Christmas break. So in 2 weeks, we'll be back on Thursday night. Until then, do it. Don't doubt it.